Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, evolving your passions. We push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com/welcome to now.
And love all you guys, That's the bottom line.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Because Stone Cold said so.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
We have audio of the conversation between Mayfield and the Browns.
Things were going so great.
It's not you. It's me.
The Rich Eisen Show.
He has every right to say what's up.
Earlier on the show, Dodgers manager Dave Roberts. Coming up, ESPN college football analyst Todd McShay. Basketball Hall of Famer Paul Pierce. Raiders defensive end Max Crosby. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. It is the first day of the NCAA tournament. It is a March Madness Thursday edition of the Rich Eisen Show. Right now, two games are going on. Providence is on top of South Dakota State with the 8-minute mark of the first half of that one. Meanwhile, my alma mater taking on Colorado State. Colorado State has just been shooting the lights out from 3-point. And meanwhile, Hunter Dickinson from Michigan has been playing like Bruce Dickinson, like he makes gold-plated records.
Bruce Dickinson.
And Michigan needs a little bit more cowbell as they're down by 7 at the half.
Hello.
So that is what's happening right now. I've got a prescription, and I need more mock drafts. And that's why I'm pleased to have right here on the Rich Eisen Show joining us from the worldwide leader in sports with free agency in full bloom waiting for Deshaun Watson's decision. Todd McShay back here on the Rich Eisen Show. Happy St. Patrick's Day to you, sir.
Feels like the Wolverines have been down since tip-off.
I got them winning
two games in the bracket. What's going on, man?
You've
got to get your guys in line.
Okay, man. I'll get right on that. But here's the thing. I'm laser-lock focused on this interview more than any other in the show because it's halftime. So... You know, perfectly timed, Todd. Perfectly timed. So, who do you have winning it all? What's your bracket look like?
I went with Kentucky. I wanted to pick someone out of the one seeds.
Okay,
my bracket's always a mess. I pay 30 seconds attention to it, and I'm back to some guard from Virginia Tech right now. So.
that's your lane. That's your lane. Okay, so looking at your 3.0 mock draft, Aiden Hutchinson, I think based on the free agency moves made by Jacksonville, they're basically tipping their hands that they're going to go with Aiden Hutchinson first overall, correct?
Yeah, that's what it seems to be. And again, Cam Robinson, they franchise tag him. It's just 1 year. They could, if they went with Evan Neal from Alabama or Ike Ekwonu from North Carolina State, they could move parts around in their offensive line and make it work and certainly, you know, protect the investment. But it kind of, to me, signals, especially with the free agency moves that they've made, you know, heavily on the offensive side, it just signals that they fell in love with Aiden Hutchinson in the interview process. How could you not? They, you know, they see a player that can come in and provide Joey Bosa-like production and hopefully he's able to stay healthy and be basically the player, and not just the player, but the leader and kind of the heartbeat of the defense like he was at Michigan.
So why Kyle Hamilton second? Why do you think the Lions will go in the direction of the extremely talented safety out of Notre Dame?
I struggled with this. I mean, you're the Lions, right? You need a quarterback, but there's no quarterback you feel comfortable drafting at number two,
right?
Is my mindset on it. Unlike the other teams behind you, like the Texans and the Jets, maybe to a lesser degree, and the Giants, you know, all of these teams, really, if you look from 3 to 7, those are teams that need offensive linemen. And so they're in position for Ekwonu and Neal, as I mentioned, but the Lions don't have that big of a need at the offensive line spot. So, you know, Penei Sewell, obviously, last year they brought in that offensive tackle. So I just think Kyle Hamilton, to me, is one of the, I would say, 6 impact elite players in this draft. And I know it's at the safety position, and I know he ran. He didn't run, you know, in the 4.4s like people were hoping for, but he plays like a 4.4 defensive back, and he's like a pterodactyl out there. And just from a quarterback perspective, he is such a pain in the ass to throw around because he's got the best reaction skills, I think, of any defensive back in this draft. You would just study him on tape, and I just constantly rewinding until my thumb gets sore to see where the ball is going out and then when has the corner recognized and broken on the ball. And he consistently is as fast as anyone in this class. And then he's got that 6'4 frame with the long arms, and he's a playmaker when the ball's in the air. I mean, just check out the highlight reel, two interceptions that he had against Florida State, and you get a real sense of what his true range is, not necessarily indicated by that 40-yard dash that he ran.
Who are the other impact players that you were referring to? You said that Hamilton's one of six.
Yeah, I think Aiden Hutchinson, Kyle Hamilton. I mentioned the two offensive linemen, and Ekwonu and Neal.
Right.
I think you throw in the mix Garrett Wilson, to me, is the number one receiver in this class out of Ohio State. Then I also would have two defensive ends in Trayvon Walker from Georgia and Kayvon Thibodeau from Oregon, if I know what I'm getting out of Thibodeau, and we can get to that later. But then the other player I throw in the mix, I guess it would probably be seven, then would be Sauce Gardner from Cincinnati, the cornerback.
Yeah, when I saw him in person, and I saw him, and I'm like, oh my God, what a tall kid.
He plays on an island.
Right.
He's 6'3". He's got, what was it, 33-inch arms, I think?
Right.
He's nimble and quick. He didn't give up more than 13 yards in a single game, Rich. In a single game last year. You can say, well, it's not power five. Like, I don't care. Not a single game did he give up more than 13 yards. And they play him on an island in press man coverage. It's not like he was playing a bunch of different coverages and zones. Like, he was just, all right, you take care of that third, and we'll handle the rest with the other 10 guys. And so he's so impressive. And you can make an argument. If you're just dropped on this planet today and you're studying Derek Stingley's tape from 2019, his true freshman year with that exceptional team and the highly motivated, you know, Derek Stingley at the time playing for a national championship, and the six interceptions that he had, again, as a true freshman, and you watch that tape and compare it to what you watched this past year, 2021, of Sauce Gardner, I'm cool if you say that you like the 2019 Stingley tape better, because I think it's pretty close to a top up there. Both top, you know, it's pretty much even in terms of what you saw on those two tapes, and they were both exceptional. The problem is the last 2 years you had a Liz Frank injury with Stingley, and I can give you seven or eight things off the top plays off the top of my head where I'm saying what is he doing? You know, like taking bad angles, pursuit angles, just so he doesn't have to get in the mix, turning down tackles, not being aggressive and physical in coverage. It was not the same guy in 2020 and 2021 that we saw back in 2019. And that's why there's concern. And that's why one of the five most gifted players in this class is probably going to fall beyond seven or eight in this draft. And I've heard teams say it might be kind of closer to the middle of the first round.
Todd McShay here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's unpack Thibodeau a little bit. Because, you know, I'm on the air live at the Combine sitting next to Daniel Jeremiah. And, you know, we're expecting him to work out after running his 40 because that's what he said at his podium when he spoke to the media. That's what we had heard he told teams he was going to do. And then, you know, it's now time after running his 40 and a terrific 40. We see him put his backpack on his shoulder. And I'm kind of, you know, I get in the ear of my producer. I'm like, what's up with this? And for somebody who's went into the combine with questions about his tape and his motor and things of that nature, this is not a very good way to place yourself out there in front of the scouts. But then the eye in the sky doesn't lie when his motor's on. So where do you stand on this intriguing kid?
Yeah, I think you hit on it. If Aiden Hutchinson didn't work out, or Jermaine Johnson, who averaged 61 plays last year for Florida State and was playing his tail off in the fourth quarter of games that they were losing, and he really didn't have much to play for from a team perspective, or Trayvon Walker, you know, some of these other edge guys that you see on tape down in and down out, that they are giving everything that their body has to give. If one of those guys didn't work out and pulled that stunt, because it was. I mean, why are you telling everyone? Why are you going on interviews? Why a lot of personnel people scratching their head because we expected to see Thibodeau work out, and then you just decide not to on really the biggest. It's the biggest stage in the pre-draft process, the NFL scouting combine. And how do you pull that off in front of all the general managers and the decision makers that are deciding your fate? And then even it's little stuff, and I'm not. It's not the reason that the problem, but it's just kind of an indicators to what you see on tape. You're looking to see something different in the interviews. You're looking to see words being backed up by action. And so when you see a play here and there on tape, you say, well, you know, he came back and played. He could have opted out and this and that. And maybe you can help make excuses for it. But now he's making it easier. Like the comment he made about I'm Clowney 2.0. Pick any other guy in the league, man. Pick any other. And again, it's not that big of a deal, but where's the advice coming from? And where is like the lack of understanding of the process that you're in? Like, the only thing we talked about with Kadarius Clowney is he's the number one player in that draft. He's the best talent in that draft, but the motor runs hot and cold, and we're not sure what we're going to get. And that's, you know, that was why some teams were just not sure of him. And it's the same exact narrative that you have right now for Thibodeau. So it's been fascinating to watch. Listen, I pull for all of these guys.
Sure.
He's a good young man. He really, like, I've talked to people close to him. Like, he's a good guy. I just want him to kind of pull it all together because when you see the plays that stand out, you're like, my goodness, he's got a chance to be special if he just focuses on what he needs to focus on.
Well, I mean, but you know the way this thing works. You know, Oregon Pro Day, once that thing hits, I'm trying to get the date right now. I know you wouldn't know that off the top of your head, but Oregon Pro Day, once they do that on the 1st of April, there'll be no April Fools. I mean, I'm sure the kid, when he works out there, it's going to be, scouts will be like, holy crap, you've got a ninth on your mock draft board going to Seattle. Would he be higher if that didn't happen at the combine? That's why I'm just trying to suss it all out, despite what you and I are saying.
Let's put it this way. It just didn't help him, and it was an opportunity to help himself. If he goes out there, what did he run? A four? I don't have it in front of me. A four? He ran the 4.5s. You know, and
it's ridiculous.
So, yeah. Like, if he takes that 40-yard dash that he had and goes out and does the explosive drills and just the movement on tape, you see it. Like, he may not be the bendiest guy in the class, or, you know, going back and comparing him to elite pass rushers, but he's explosive and he's sharp with his movements and he's sudden and he knows how to get through things. He's got such quick feet. So to me, he would have gone out there and put on a show, and we would have been talking about, you know what, that's the player he is. He was playing at Oregon the last couple of years. He had an opportunity to opt out. He didn't. Maybe the game tape was a little bit up and down, but he's dialed back in, and this is the guy that we're going to get. So it's not that he's dropping because of the, you know, not working out. It's the concern that you have with him in terms of what you're going to consistently get over the long haul.
I've got Todd McShay here on the Rich Eisen Show. So taking a look at your mock draft for the quarterbacks, let's hit the quarterbacks a little bit here before I send you on to your good day. You've got Pickett 18th to the Saints, and then you've got the Falcons trading back into the first round to go grab Matt Corral at 29. Obviously, Deshaun Watson's decision would potentially change all that. You got Malik Willis 20th to the Steelers. I'm with you, man. The way I looked at the Trubisky signing is Steelers are going to go get this kid from Liberty if he's still sitting there 20th overall. I mean, that's a fact in my mind.
Yeah, and then full disclosure, I did this Trubisky. It was the day after this mock draft came out.
Okay.
And Trubisky signed, and I still, like, I wouldn't do it differently. I really wouldn't. I don't think they're going to trade up and give away other capital in order to go get a quarterback, but if one falls in their lap, it actually would be a perfect opportunity for Willis, Malik Willis, who's coming out of 2 years at Liberty, strongest arm in the class. He steps into the league. He's one of the three most dynamic athletes at the quarterback position right away, but he's not there mentally yet because it's just 2 years starting, like I said, at Liberty after transferring from Auburn. And even his own coach said, Hugh Freeze, and he had nothing but, you know, glowing reviews of him and how great he is as a person, and teammates absolutely love him and want to be around him and fight with him. And he said he's the most confident, humble athlete I've ever coached. He also said he doesn't know what he doesn't know yet. You know, it's all kind of new to him at the quarterback position. So he has developing to do, and I'd love to see him in a situation where he doesn't get thrown in right away, where he has people around him who can develop him. Because I'm telling you, Richard, if this guy gets the right situation and is coached properly and has an organization that gets behind him, kind of like Baltimore has done with Lamar Jackson, like the Bills did with Josh Allen, even what the Eagles did this past year with Jalen Hurts, he's got an opportunity not only to be the best quarterback in this class, but to be one of the best 15 quarterbacks in the league, and that's saying a heck of a lot. So I love his upside, but I'm scared to death if he goes in the wrong spot, whether it's the coaching, the organization around him, the supporting cast being thrown in too early. There's a lot of things there that are concerning, but again, his upside is phenomenal.
Last one for you. It usually takes, as you hear, the old axiom, 4 or 5 years to evaluate a draft. How do you evaluate Baker Mayfield right now, and what has happened with him with the Browns? How are you sussing this out? And if the Browns do move on from him, is there someone in the draft? And then the third part of the question is, where would Mayfield look best, do you think?
Obviously, I had Sam Darnold ahead of him. I think it was that year. But I liked him. I liked him a lot, and he hasn't played to the level. I think his body type and his play style has affected him, and it's almost you look at. I'm not saying that Matt Corral is Baker Mayfield, but it's a little bit of that, like aggressive, moving around, don't have the body. You're hoping that he can hold up, but it's taken a toll on him. And I think some of the like high energy, not rah-rah, but just his demeanor when things aren't going well. Grown men don't want to hear from you, and the way you are. And like early on, I think people in the organization bought into it and appreciated that about him. It seemed to have kind of taken its course and worn some individuals down inside that organization. So we'll see. But clearly, he's not going to be a Cleveland Brown from everything I'm being told moving forward. And who still needs a quarterback? We talked about the Colts is one, the Panthers is another one. New Orleans is getting Deshaun Watson. Really seems to have come down to four teams. But I'm starting to hear more whispers and kind of indications that New Orleans is the place that Deshaun wants to go. So that's the biggest domino that has to fall in all of this with the quarterbacks. But certainly the Colts is an organization that you would look at, and the Carolina Panthers. Everyone's kind of in this holding pattern. Of what does Deshaun do? You got four organizations. You throw in the Browns and the Falcons, and what does Deshaun do? And then if it's not Deshaun, Jimmy Garoppolo and Baker Mayfield then become available and via trade. So this has been one of the most fun, interesting, and crazy, pre-free agency periods and free agency periods, and mostly because of the trades that we've seen and the decisions, obviously, with Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers to go back to their respective teams.
Well, just throwing it out there real quick, is there somebody that would fit the Browns? I mean, if you're saying and you're hearing that it does seem like the writing's on the wall that Mayfield's gone no matter what, and your colleague Schefter and our friend Schefter is reporting out that the Browns have already been told they're out. So,
oh, really?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
What happens when I watch Virginia Tech guards for the afternoon?
That's what happens. Yeah.
So you're asking me,
is that like with the Browns sitting there at 13? Like, could they possibly be players in this draft?
I mean, that's around where you expect these quarterbacks to go. Seattle would probably be the earliest, in my opinion, that a team would take a quarterback at number 9. The Browns would be 13, and we know the two names. It's Kenny Pickett from Pittsburgh, and I know the hand span thing isn't a big deal. It's not like it doesn't define a player. But if you're playing in Cleveland and rain and winds are affecting a quarterback, and everyone says, well, he played at Pittsburgh. Yeah, but in the second half against North Carolina, he struggled in the rain. On the Wednesday practice at the Senior Bowl, he struggled mightily in the rain, and no quarterback was affected more out of the 6 quarterbacks there. I worry about him in that division and where you have to play. I'd much rather see him like in the NFC South, for example, where you're covered for the vast majority of the season by domes and warm weather stadiums.
Todd McShay, look for more of my calls. You're the man. Thanks for taking this one. Appreciate it.
You got it, Rich. Always fun.
You got it. McShay at McShay13 on Twitter. I follow him. You should too. Let's take a break so we're as remotely on time as possible for Paul Pierce, who'll join us next right here live on the Rich Eisen Show. Hey, folks. It's time for the NFL draft, which means for me, I need a good night's sleep, because if I don't have one, just not myself. You know the deal. You know exactly how important it is to have quality sleep. It's a game changer for all of us. So Sleep Number helps me. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's setting is 70. We both get a great night's sleep because we could adjust the firmness of our mattress on each side. Improve your quality sleep because Sleep Number learns how you sleep thanks to their smart beds and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Our house is a mess. Come on in.
I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
I got Paul Pierce here back on the Rich Eisen Show. Paul Pierce, courtesy of DraftKings, here on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line. Let's get into the Garnett retirement ceremony. As you mentioned just moments ago, big three back together. What was that like for you to see, Paul?
No, that was awesome, man. It was just like, you know, everybody knew we had our little feud going for so long, and the crazy thing is we always going to be a brotherhood, and you know, for Ray to show up to KG's retirement was everything. You know, that I think, you know, for people who didn't know, we had a chance to talk during the 75th anniversary during All-Star weekend, but for the Celtic fans on the Celtic in the Boston Garden to see it up close and personal was even more special, and we needed that.
I got to be honest with you, the fact that this happened, and now, you know, you're saying that the 75th, you know, anniversary at the All-Star game helped lead to it. I'm kind of surprised because the video that went viral was Ray getting dapped up by LeBron and KG having none of it, to the point where even LeBron might have snapped to attention over all of that. I'm sure you saw that video, right?
Yeah, that was, you know, people were just reading too much in it because we was in the back laughing and joking before all of that.
Huh.
No, everybody took that out of context, I'm telling you. So, I even laughed at next day when people were talking about it.
Well, how much did you have to do with bringing both of these guys together, Paul? How much were you broken
You know what? I'm friends with both of them, and I kind of call myself like the glue, and I just, you know, I had to make that happen. So when we were in the back, I was like, come on, man, this is over with. We about to take a picture. We about to chop it. We didn't have too many good times with our families and stuff for it to come to this, you know? And it's been blown over. As we all say, time heals all wounds, and so, you know, it's been enough time for us to just, you know, squash it and just like, look, man, we had too many good times that outweigh the bad times, so it's time for us to do this.
So there was no groundwork laid before the All-Star game? It was just the two?
We went to the All-Star game, you know, I just kind of brought Ray over to where Ticket was at, and then I was like, come on, y'all, we about to take this picture, we about to squash it. And then, you know, after the set, we took the picture during the All-Star weekend, during the 75th anniversary team. I called Ray, like, look, you got to come to the KG ceremony. You know, I don't know if he was planning on doing it, but I was like, look, you got to come. I think it'll be epic. You know, I think we need to do it all right there in the garden, let everybody know that, you know, we still the big three, Boston's big three.
Yeah, but I mean, he had to also know, because he's been on the record as saying that the snubs that he's received from Kevin really cut deep, and he didn't want to feel that way again. So did you then have to call Kevin and say, hey, he's coming, you know, you're cool, right? Did you have to just check one last check in with KG?
I did not tell Kevin that he was coming.
Huh.
I didn't. I wanted that to be, that was going to be the big surprise.
That's quite the dice roll, Paul. Kevin, I got to be honest with you.
But we made up during the All-Star weekend. So, you know, this was like icing on the cake once we got to the KG's retirement.
So then, So there was no exhale when you saw that Kevin was all cool with it, right? Like, you that's what you expected, is what you're saying, Paul.
Yeah, I mean, because me and Kevin talked about it a lot.
Okay.
You know, that's my boy. We live down the street from each other. I was like, man, we got to look at this guy. It's not letting it just, and I just popped up on him. I was like, we talked about this a long time, for a long time.
Yeah, I'm sure.
It's not something that just came up because we was in the same room together. I was like, man, look, you know, KG, as you all know, KG wrote a book. He got his own podcast. And I was like, you know what would be dope, dude, if you had Ray on it? And he was like, yeah, I would have Ray on it. You know, and it was just kind of like, you know, warming them up to it. And then, you know, when we saw Ray, it was like, man, come on, dog. It's about that time. You know, so this is not something that just, oh, let me throw this on you, Kevin, because you can't just throw nothing on KG. You gotta,
and Paul, too, nobody really knew it was happening because, as Rich said, it was the video that we saw of the side eye. And then you posted the picture of the three of you on Instagram the next day, and it was just like, wait a second, is everything cool now? Like, just me and all the fans were just going nuts.
Yeah, I had to post that because the narrative, you know, when people look at that video, they create their own narrative of what happened. But, like, people don't know. We was in the back, hee-hee and ha-ha, and before all of that, I just think, you know, they just caught a KG just breathing hard or looking up or whatever. And we already chopped it up in the back. And Ray probably haven't even spoke to LeBron the whole time until he went out there. You know what I'm saying? So it was like, okay, we had our moment with Ray. Now Ray want to have his moment with LeBron because, as you know, he won championships with both of us.
Paul Pierce here on the Rich Eisen Show, courtesy of DraftKings. What was it? Who did you meet on the 75th anniversary team? And you're like, oh, gosh, this is the coolest thing ever. What was that moment for you, Paul?
Man, that moment was like, oh, man. Jerry West, Kareem. Oh, my God. It was just magic. It's crazy that I'm saying old Lakers, too. I mean, but I grew up a Lakers fan.
Right. I mean, it had to be, like, so cool for the kid in you, right? I mean, that's the stuff you dream of. That's the stuff you dream of.
You know what's so crazy? Just being back there and me looking wide-eyed like a little kid in the candy store. I had to, like, really, like, catch myself, like, I'm in here. Like, I'm a part of this, you know. But I was, like, a fan for the most part. But then I had to keep catching myself when we took the picture, and I had to look to my left, and you see Magic and Iverson and LeBron and, you know, the Jerry West and Kareem. It's like, wow, this was unreal. It's like you're never going to get a room like that ever again.
Paul,
you know what I'm saying?
Of course.
Like, it was just like surreal.
That's amazing. Paul Pierce here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's get to a little bit at the matter at hand. Right now, Warriors Nation, not terribly happy with Marcus Smart. Neither is Steve Kerr, as he was diving for a loose ball yesterday, rolled into Steph's foot that apparently might keep him out all the way to the playoffs, if not maybe dangerously close into the playoffs. What did you make of all of that, Paul Pierce?
You know, I looked at it, and I was just like, that's Marcus Smart. I don't think he intentionally tried to say, oh, I'm going to dive on the ball and sprain Steph's ankle. That's how Marcus Smart plays. We all know that. He plays 100. He gives you 110. He's taking charges, diving for loose balls. And I looked at it, and I'm like, that's just the NBA we are in today. Because 10 years ago, nobody would even said nothing about that. That's just a hard play. You know, now that we're in an era to where you can't touch nobody, you look at somebody wrong, it's a technical, it's like crazy. Like, I just thought he was playing hard. It's just unfortunate that he landed on Steph's ankle. But if that was Steph diving and that was Marcus Smart, nobody would have said nothing. But since that's Steph, you know, one of the guys who's the face of the league and a crucial part of what the Warriors do, everybody's going to bring it up. It's going to be a hot topic.
Yeah, but one of the guys who's upset about it is from the era of where you know, that you're referring to where guys could touch one another. I mean, in Steve Kerr, I mean, he got his lights punched out by Jordan. You know, I mean.
Of course he's going to be upset. He lost his MVP. How would you feel? You know what I'm saying? You lost at this late in the season, how would you feel? You lost one of your most important pieces, and this is the first time they had all three of them on the court. The first game. They big three played, and then Steph go down. I mean, yeah, as a coach, even though you come from that era, you'd be sick.
Paul Pierce here on the Rich Eisen Show. Who do you think is right now looking as the favorites to make the NBA Finals right now, Paul?
The NBA Finals, man, that's tough. It's tough out the West, but out of the East, man. Oh, man. Mm-hmm. I don't want to sound biased, but the Celtics are the best. They're playing better than anybody in the East right now. You know, you always got to say Milwaukee because they won it last year. But I got to ride with my Celtic boys. I think they've been the best team over the last 25 games. Jason Tatum has taken this game to another level. Outside of that loss they just had at home to Dallas, they've been the best team in the East, and I think they can ride this all the way to the finals.
How about that?
In the Western Conference, I really think it's Phoenix's to lose. You know, look how they've been playing, even without Chris Paul, and you know he's going to come back. I think Phoenix is the odds-on favorite out West.
So you don't I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't say it this way, but I will anyway. What the hell? You don't buy Embiid and Harden going to be a two-man game that'll be tough to stop?
I don't buy it. It's hard for me to believe that you could make a mid-season trade and ride a team to the finals. I think they still have a long way to go because once playoffs is different. You know, all that stuff we see in the regular season is smoke and mirrors because now when you get to the playoffs, you play it against a top-tier team every night, each round, the defense gets better, and I just don't see them throwing this trade together and making it to the finals this year. And you know, with Harden's as great as he's been, in playoffs is different. We all know that. And when in tough situations, he has to show that he can overcome and be the best player, and he hasn't shown that yet. And we've seen this to Potomac too many years when they get thick, when they come down to that game six, game seven. Somehow, I don't know why he lay an egg. I don't know why, but he does. As great as he is, and I love Hart. I mean, I think he's one of the top 25 players that ever played a game. But in them moments, I'm not sure right now.
What are you doing with DraftKings? What are you doing with DraftKings, Paul?
Right now, you know, I've been doing a lot of promos for DraftKings, but there's a couple that I just want to run by everybody. You know, on behalf of the DraftKings crew, I want to let everybody. The most important one, though, is first of all, I want everybody. This is me saying bet responsible because this is March Madness, and everybody like to, you know, put in their bets. But on the most part, bet responsible. But I just want for the new users to know, you know, if they bet $5, they can get $200 in free bets on the college basketball money line in this tournament. So that's the big one I want to get out there.
Okay.
And at the same time, you know, I like to say, bet responsible. This is March Madness. Everybody is excited about college hoops and everything as I am. And, you know, I'm a Kansas guy, so I'm pulling for the Jayhawks, you know, to win it all. Did you know that Kansas has the longest active streak of making it to the tournament? I didn't know this fact until a couple of days ago. But, like, I think it's, like, about 32 straight years they made the tournament. That's the longest active streak. So, you know, if you're going to bet Kansas.
Well, I got Kansas coming out of the Midwest. I have Kansas coming out of the Midwest. I got your Jayhawks coming out of the Midwest. I just don't know if they're going to – I mean, this is Coach K.
You probably got Gonzaga winning it, don't you?
I do not. I have Kentucky winning it all.
Kentucky?
Yeah. Why not?
They fool's gold.
But Kansas isn't? Kansas isn't?
Rock chop.
Kansas isn't. Let me just make a note of that. Okay. Hey, Paul, does this mean that you're pleased to be on this show? I get more Paul Pierce phoners into this program, if not out here in Los Angeles. You know, we're based right by LAX. Very simple. Very easy to get.
Anytime, you know, you want me to even come to the studio. You know I'm an LA guy, so.
I do know.
Let's go.
Yes. Let's do that. We'll have a Shabbat show together. How does that sound?
Oh, yeah. Let's do it.
Let's do it. I'd love it.
I want to do a Shabbat, man.
Let's do it on a Friday. We'll do it on a Friday.
Yeah, for sure. We're going to have some good. We're eat good and talk it up.
Let's do it. Paul Pierce, you're the man. Thanks again for calling in. Thanks for calling in. Truly appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate you.
You got it. That's Paul Pierce, everybody. Hall of Famer, 75th anniversary all-time team member.
Inglewood's finest.
Right here on the Rich Eisen Show. That was fun.
That was great.
How about that, man? That video that went viral of like KG cannot stand Ray Allen still, and LeBron was like, uh-oh, I don't want to be part of whatever's in between of them.
Yeah.
It was all of us reading into nothing because they were all chopping it up, having a good time. And, you know, I'll tell you what, Paul Pierce needs to come on more because his rating was a plus five.
Oh, in terms of your, okay.
Michigan's down four with the ball.
Yeah. Woo. Rich, I thought you were going to change. Push for us to get the poker night invite at Paul's house.
Yeah. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh,
I have no idea what you're talking about.
You know.
All right, what we'll do is we'll take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about our brackets.
Let's do it.
And we'll tell you who we're choosing to win it all. I just gave you my final four. Once again, you know, our tournament competition here involves my children.
Oh, we love it.
All three of their brackets are in. Taylor's done this morning because she was spending all this time researching.
Oh, I love Taylor.
Wait till you hear what her decision-making process was.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a
likelihood. So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Back here at NBC Sports on Peacock and back here in the lead on the Rich Eisen Show. Back here on our program terrestrially, University of Michigan Wolverines have taken the lead on Colorado State at the 10-minute mark by 1 point. So it's time for March Madness, and it is mad right now. South Dakota State and Providence about to start the second half. Providence on top 31-23. Memphis and Boise State about to tip. That's what's going on right here on our program.
Love it.
So shall we? Oh, Michigan just went up by four.
Oh, sorry, Rick. Too far. I thought you were having the big one over there.
As we all know, March Madness is now back. This is amazing. This is exciting. And we've got brackets. And so is there music that you can play? I mean, you can't play. Whatever basketball music you've been playing on our program, it's not whatever music you've associated with it.
I love this. Okay. This is one of TJ's, our buddies.
That's
a good beat, buddy.
So
it's a good beat.
It's March Madness time once again. Chris Brockman, you have filled out a bracket. Del Tufo and TJ, you filled out a bracket. I have as well. So have my children. So once again, the competition is afoot. The four of us against my three kids. Woo! Just making sure that kids who are 8, 11, and 13 don't beat us. Okay? There's pride on the line. There's a lot on the line. It's just pride. It's just pride on the line. So, Chris Brockman, who do you have as your final four and winning it all in your bracket?
All right, so my final four is, I'm going with, I only have one seed. I went with Gonzaga. They seem to be the kind of perennial here. They got one of the best players in the country, Chet Holmgren. I like Kentucky, Tennessee, all SEC, Tennessee and Auburn. And I'm going to take Tennessee to cut the Nets.
What's going on? He's just, all of a sudden, he's just Mr. SEC over there.
Well, it just means more, Rich.
I don't understand it.
Means more.
He's here.
And I don't know. I didn't do that on purpose. I just don't want to pick all four number ones.
Got it.
And this seems like these guys are playing really well.
So. All right, TJ Jefferson, your bracket, sir. You have your final four, and who's winning it all for you?
Yeah, you know, I got to be honest with you guys. I didn't really even dive into this bracket until this morning.
Dude, do you have
for your
and
final?
What's your final four?
The reason I'm stoning Rich is because I don't remember. That's the thing. So can I get
pop it up on the screen?
I mean, you took Duke, I'm sure.
I did. I took Duke and Kansas in the finals.
Yeah. Okay.
Duke, Virginia Tech in a rematch.
Oh, you went with an 11 seed.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I went Kansas and Villanova and You know, I'm just going to pick Duke. Maybe Coach K will have that
bottom right,
right off into
Duke
that sunset.
It all.
Because I want to see if what Chris Brockman says come to fruition.
Let me just say this. I will say this with the ultimate of respect. And we've had Coach K on the program, and I have nothing but respect for him. And I can't say respect enough. If he cuts down the Nets, it would be in the media
amazing.
World an
oh,
absolute... Gosh, yes. You know,
sword fest.
Total, complete meltdown of, you know, like we had Ray Lewis on yesterday about hoisting Lombardi and going off into the sunset and the same thing with Strahan and how Brady wants to do that. him with the net around his neck strolling off into retirement would be something that Duke fans would never forget and never stop talking about, and the rest of all of us would just be get out of here with that.
Yeah, so I hope it happens for that reason.
We would just be get out of here with that. So, boy, that's still afoot right now. That is still in the ether. Mike Del Tufo,
what do you got,
your
Mike?
Final Four. And what do you want? By the way, Mike is the one who's won this pool, I think, more often than not.
Yeah, I'm
because he's the one who's working faders. He's seen more college basketball than any of us.
Oh, that's totally. 100%.
He's a former voice of Seton Hall basketball. Don't forget, he threatens every March Madness to bring in the tapes of him calling games. They're somewhere underneath the Olaf coasters that he's got.
They're in his garage, locked up in some garage. Okay, so I got Zaga, Kentucky, Villanova, and Kansas in the Final Four. Reason why I went with
who do you have winning?
Zaga. The Bulldogs.
If you're going to choose them to win, you've got to pronounce their name properly.
Zaga. I say Zaga. I say Zaga.
No, but they say Zaga. I say Zaga.
They say tomato.
I say tomato. I think of just Zaga. You're zigging and you're zagging. You don't zig and zog. All right?
I say coffee.
It's Harry Connick Jr. is just shaking his head.
So your reasoning is what? What's your reason?
They looked really good. I did a lot of the Big East games, obviously, and Big Ten.
Yes.
They looked phenomenal. And my other one, it was Villanova, looked great too. So I had them moving because they kind of came out at the end and looked pretty strong. But Zaga.
There you go. Hey. Get used to it. Gonzaga.
I can't. Right. Okay.
It's not Oregon. Zaga. It's Oregon.
Zaga.
It's not Nevada. Zaga. It's Nevada. Zaga.
But yeah, okay. So I got them winning.
No, it's please.
Oh my God.
It's Nevada, not Nevada.
Nevada.
That's it.
Right. Nevada.
My bad. Okay, so here's my Final Four. I went with Gonzaga, Arizona, and Kansas. I went with three ones, and I went Kentucky to win it all because I figured none of you jamokes would do that, and I wanted to do something different. And I just have a feeling that for some wink and a nod by the basketball gods that Coach K's final tournament would be won by Kentucky.
I see what you're doing.
That's where I'm going.
Oh, payback.
That's where I'm going. Now, my children.
I can't wait.
This is going to be great.
How many have Michigan?
My kids.
Cooper took Michigan.
Yeah. Here they go. No. Here we go. Put him up. He did not take Michigan. He took UCLA.
Oh, Homer.
Xander, as you know, has chosen Gonzaga many times, and he feels like this is finally it.
Oh, Xander, I like
now Xander's Taylor. Thinking. To Baylor.
Go back to back.
Because it rhymes with her name.
See, I like that thinking too.
I told her, I told her they won last year. Okay. She remembered that they won last year. Okay. I said it's very rare for back to back, but they rhyme with her name, and her entire bracket is chalk. Entire bracket.
That's not a bad way
higher
to go.
Higher seed in every game except for Michigan versus Colorado State. She took Colorado State and she looked at me and she said, "I'm sorry, Daddy." And I'm like, "You do what you have to do. There's no alliance here when it comes to brackets. Like, this is no alliance here." She flipped to Michigan anyway, and then took chalk the rest of the tournament.
That's about what I did.
Yeah, you came close to that because I can tell by the teams.
Took the higher seed in every other game.
Good for her.
She's
going to beat all of us.
By the way, how do you think I win? Taylor and I are smart. So you guys look at
you
us.
You go chalk too?
Oh, I go chalk.
Mike Del Tufo confirming he's got the mind of an 8-year-old.
Exactly. Yeah.
After all.
We now have learned something. What did we learn? We learned that.
What did you say yesterday? I make points.
Yeah, I make points. I made a point right there.
Whatever you said yesterday.
You guys were talking about points. I said, I make points. I got sad. Because you guys said I don't make points.
All right. Good luck. Let's go.
I love them.
What's on the line
here? This is one
of
my
favorite
times of the year.
Just pride. I don't know. Like we stopped doing
Taylor
the clown makeup thing because it was totally demoralizing. And Eric Stonetree gets pissed because we don't do the clown makeup properly. Didn't he personally give us the August clown makeup?
He sent
style?
In the picture of how to do it one year.
So let's go to, I don't see Brian's hometown. Brian, you're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Brian?
Hey, yeah, it's Brian. I'm in North Carolina, but I'm from Greenville, up? South Carolina.
What's going on?
Actually, the generalization, I'm from Malden, South Carolina, where
Malden.
Kevin Garnett is from.
Okay. Welcome.
Part of the original three that started creating these super teams, right?
What's going
on? I just wanted to say that I agree that Brockman was right. Like, one, he was right with that, the first big three that broke LeBron to be like, I need to, like, do this myself and, you know, get a Avengers-style team together.
So you're...
But two...
Okay, yeah.
Go cool. ahead.
No, go ahead, Brian. Keep going.
You, sir. No.
No, please. Keep going.
Oh, well, I was ready to move on. As soon as I had gotten on hold, I saw Brockman put Tennessee as the champion. I'm like, thank God, somebody else, because, nobody powered through a conference tourney harder than that team did.
Okay.
And that is my team. So,
well, yeah, I guess you need to call back more often. If you keep agreeing with Brockman, Brockman will more than happy
to
shepherd you through the phone lines faster than anybody else.
Keep calling.
Yeah, please do. Yeah, Brian, North Carolina. By the way, like I'm here, man. Like, if anything, I can relate. Like, dude, I saw like Anthony Rizzo and a bunch of. What was it? Mookie Betts at the single A club
Greenville,
yeah. South Carolina. Like when the double A Atlanta Braves, which I grew up with, moved to Mississippi, and then they moved, Boston chose Greenville out of like nowhere to, you know, build a little mini Green Monster. There's a Green Monster. It's a beautiful stadium. I mean, check it out if you get a chance. Minor league single A ball, but it's beautiful.
Appreciate it. Thanks for the call, Brian. Thanks for the call.
Well, there you go.
How about that? Agreeing with Chris Brockman's take on the Rich Eisen Show basketball podcast.
Maybe it's a good day.
That the Celtics big three broke LeBron. That made LeBron think, I got to get out of Cleveland and get my own dream team together. And then he did that. And ever since then, he's just been on a different path of his career.
You started the super team, bro.
I guess that means the Celtics started the super team, really?
I don't think so. Because
the Celtics fans will never admit to that.
No, because they were trades. It wasn't three guys being like, hey, tank on your team and come join me here. It was a front office move to acquire those guys.
Is that what LeBron told who? Who told that?
Yeah.
Tank on your team and come here. Which one
LeBron
was that?
Said, look, I'm leaving. Let's go to Miami and team up with Dwayne Wade's team. LeBron didn't start his own team in Miami. He went to Dwayne Wade's team. So.
And Chris Bosh joined their team, too.
And Bosh joined their team as well, yeah.
Well, I mean, technically, Bosch was the first one to sign, but
right. So it was a free agency thing that LeBron started, which now everyone does. The Celtics were built by trades.
Max Crosby will join us in hour number three as we keep an eye on March Madness and wait for Deshaun Watson's decision. Still here on the Rich Eisen Show.
This came across my timeline just now, and I want to start a new segment called "Not Your Problem Anymore."
Okay.
Not your problem anymore, Rich. In his first at bat with the Twins. Gary Sanchez struck out.
Not your problem anymore.
Not like my problem anymore.
Not your problem anymore.
I just thought that was funny.
Hey, man, Gary Sanchez, when he first came up, was as promising as Judge.
Yep.
As promising as anybody else in the Yankee system. Sanchez. And everybody thought, okay, as we're trying to rebuild what the Yankees had in the late 90s and the early aughts, that what we're trying to rebuild it, we're going to go and get Sanchez as our Posada and Judge could be our Bernie Williams or whatever. And then, you know, end of story. And Sanchez would just strike out more often than not. And then the end of the story is that he had problems behind the plate.
Forgot how to catch.
What's going on out here?
I have no idea.
This is bananas. For like 2 years, nobody was here. Yeah. And now people like, come back and they want to make noise. Like, we've been working here steadily, guys.
Is it Yachty by nature?
It's like a St. Patrick's Day.
Welcome back to work.
Like, welcome
type
back.
Party.
This is our house.
Yeah. They deserted. They left.
Yeah, they
we
left.
Stayed. I'm going to go we make stayed. Them turn the music down during
TJ
the break. I promise you.
TJ's going.
Yeah, it's two very loud speakers at a table where nobody's standing in front of
it. Well, DJs do that. That's kind of like what we do.
Yeah, but if you're creating atmosphere, there needs to be atmosphere to help create.
Yeah, but you want it loud if there's no one around.
No, there's some food stand like right in my eyesight.
Which
through the
one
door
of us
here.
Is going to be the one to tell him to turn
I
it
mean,
down?
I mean, I think that's obvious.
Well, CJ, it's going
to
be you.
Who?
You.
Me.
You're in charge.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm a.
Guys, remember, I was always the one who'd go out
by the way,
when we have guys working. Hey, guys, we got to.
I am a professional turn it down guy. I have, honestly. If you, I should start the part of RS Consulting. If you need someone to call somebody to turn it down,
the get off my lawn guy,
because I am an absolute magnet for ambient noise. Hotels, rental places, Airbnbs. I am honestly, if there's a thing clicking somewhere in a wall, or there's a clock too loud, I'm your guy. I'm your guy.
You're in a room with a smoke detector with a bad battery.
Moving into an apartment. And the space underneath is converted into a loud bar.
That's right.
I'm your guy. Turn it down!